another episode of your favorite podcast, The Pursuit of Perfectness. I'm one of your hosts, Ellen Matthews.
And I'm the other one of your hosts is... Whoa, I stepped on your line. I'm sorry.
I am the other one. Damn it.
My name's Dennis. Oh, damn it.
Damn it.
You want to start over?
Let's start over. Let's start over.
It got a little muddy. Okay. There.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of your favorite podcast, The Pursuit of Perfectness. I'm one of your hosts, Ellen Matthews, and over there
is Dennis Pacheco, the other one of your hosts of your favorite podcast, The Pursuit of Perfectness. I was doing a little dance because we nailed the second take.
I feel like we're a little punchy because it's midnight.
It's midnight.
And you know why? Because we were just on with the West Coast.
No big deal.
The entire West Coast.
NBD.
The United States of America. We had such a fun episode tonight. Oh, by the way, what is this podcast? It's a little podcast about two average Joes who are a little too hard on themselves and are self-proclaimed perfectionists. And we're just trying to get through that. And the way we get through that is by interviewing people. And we talk to them about how perfectionism manifests within their lives, you know? And that's what we did this episode.
This episode is no different.
This episode, we talked to two personal friends of mine, Mike Westervelt and Taylor Westervelt. And they are parents of two beautiful, smart, brave, wonderful daughters.
Kind.
All the things. Kennedy and Parker. And we talk about parenting and how perfectionism manifests there. Who are Mike and Taylor? Well, Mike is a native New Englander, newly moved to the Bay Area, dad of two beautiful daughters, as I mentioned, and a Googler for the past 11 years.
That means he works at Google. Doesn't mean correct. He just Googles stuff.
That is an important distinction. What if he was just a person that Google searched for the past 11 years? That would be so funny. Yes, an employee at Google. Taylor was born and raised in the Southwest, but has been living on the East Coast for the past 11 years. 11 years. Taylor recently moved to San Francisco with Mike, her husband, and two young daughters. She's a professional stay-at-home mom and was never in the pursuit of perfectness until she had her babies. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. So we talk about parenting. We're not parents. We don't know anything about parenting, but we talked to Michael and Taylor, who are parents,
yes,
and seem to have, I don't want to put them in the crosshairs of whatever parenting,
community,
TikTok.
Yes.
Yeah, community,
yes,
or whatever, but they seem like they're doing a pretty good job.
I think,
right?
So. I really think so.
And I think we got a lot out of this episode. If you're thinking about, becoming a parent, or if you've had parents in your life, then this is the episode for you. If you are a parent, this is the episode for you.
If you've ever been a child.
If
you were ever a child.
If you're thinking of becoming a child in like a Benjamin Button kind of scenario.
We gotta
tighten
up.
Then this episode is for you. But this is still the intro. We gotta tighten it up.
This was so much fun. We had a blast. And without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, our interview with Mike and Taylor Westervelt. We are drinking wine right now. well, I'm not. I'm the designated driver for this episode. But Mike did text me 30 minutes before saying, can we drink wine? It's been that kind of a night. And I love this energy because we are talking tonight about parenting and how perfection kind of creeps into this idea of how to be the perfect parent. Let's talk about it. You two are parents. I'm sure you've got it all figured out, so you can tell our guests how to be perfect parents. You are the parents of two amazing, beautiful little girls. Can I say their names? I don't know how much. Okay.
Yeah, Kennedy. We say it all the time.
Kennedy and Parker. Yeah. And they are, remind me their ages.
Kennedy is newly 3 and Parker is newly 1.
So small. SMOL.
Yes. Very small.
And what, if you could just answer for the listeners, how does one be perfect parents? Should be pretty simple, right?
Yeah, if you could just knock that out.
If you could just knock it out in like 2 sentences.
Yeah. You're a perfect parent.
Watch my wife.
You're a perfect parent until you have a child. And then mm-hmm. you realize there's no... And you think you're a pretty good parent, and that's how they trick you into having a second child. You're like, ooh. The first one, you know, it's pretty good. Game pretty changer. Good. And then you have the second.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy is everybody before the first one was like, oh, man, life-changing event. Like, oh, are you ready? Are you prepared? Nobody said anything to us before the second. By the second, they're like, misery loves company, and everybody with 2 or more kids was like, well, they're going to learn. They're going to learn. Warn them before the first. Give them the heads up. The second one, that's the real – nobody talks about it. But we're here to inform your listeners. That's what we're here for.
That's actually a really great point because you're right. There's so much fuss about the first one, right? Like you got to read all the books. You have a shower, a baby shower. And then they think, oh, second one, you got it. It's just more of that. But I have heard that like that second child, like having like it is, it's intense,
it's
right?
One more child, but it's like 3 to 10 times the work. It's crazy. Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you learn really quickly what was overhyped for the first child and what's just not sustainable, because there's a lot that's not sustainable in that pursuit of perfection.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to parenting, there is a lot that, I mean, Parker, we had Parker basically on the side of the road in Florida because of COVID time, we were homeless. We were living around the country with Taylor's parents and my parents, and then taking trips out to Colorado and other places. So we've got pediatricians in every part of the country right now. And really quickly we learned like, oh, maybe we don't need the exact minute for this bath time or this bedtime, yeah. Or, you know, we give up on a lot for just our own mental sanity at some point.
Yeah. You got pediatricians in every area code.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Anybody need recommendations from really coast to coast at this point?
Yeah.
We got you.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So Dennis and I, we don't have kids. I have like a bajillion questions. Dennis, I know you have questions too.
I have 3.
Oh, great.
I have a bajillion.
Very
Dennis
specific questions. Yep. Mm. Yep.
Dennis, why don't you go first? 3 sounds less.
Okay, here we go.
Mine.
Well, my question was this. So, Taylor, you've got your glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, you've got your glass of wine. I've got my glass of wine.
Got my water.
Ellen's got her water.
Designated
driver. Did you text Ellen, it's been that kind of night, or did you text Ellen, it's been a day?
It's been
because
a day.
Because I feel like... Yeah, because I feel like that has a different energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And what's funny is I'm saying it's been a day, and Taylor's had the worst day probably. Right?
Mike, would you agree?
Mike actually went into work today, so he wasn't home. But when you have a child that is 3,
yeah,
it's like having, I'm sure everybody's had that boss that you just never know, like, what mood they're going to bring mm-hmm. to the office. And you never know, like, how the day is going to flow. Having a 3-year-old
yes.
is like that, but on
oh my God.
Crack.
It yeah. is, that is such a beautiful metaphor.
That's a really
just,
good analogy.
You just never know. And, you know, you're with them all day. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so... You know, it starts today at 6 a.m. for some reason. She woke up really early, and it just never stopped all day.
Yep.
I even, at one point, on our walk, she was screaming so loudly that I was just like laughing, and I took my phone out and recorded her screaming because I was like, I have to remember this. This is wild. Like, wild.
Were you afraid you would, like, block it out of your memory?
Yeah. Like, well, I think you do. Wow. As parents, you, like, yeah. in 6 months, I'm going to be like, oh, my gosh, she was so cute. When she had just turned 3, she was so sweet and cute and said the funniest things. And then I'll scroll back and I'll find that video and I'll remind myself. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can show it to her later and just be like...
What do you have to say for yourself?
Yeah, she'll be like, I'm sorry.
In her defense, it is tough being 3.
In her defense, she's a 3-year-old child.
She's a 3-year-old.
Excellent point. It's an excellent point.
She's been homeless for 2 years living abroad, and now we're finally settled into...
We were not living abroad.
Not abroad. You know, around. Living around. Yeah. Abroad sounded better than around. Living around. And
if you never leave the U.S., that's not abroad.
Right. Yeah. We did not leave the
U.S. Yeah, that's true. Although, in my defense, we went to Florida, and at times, it feels a little, you know, other country-like.
Florida is like another planet.
Yeah.
A bad planet.
But yeah, it's tough. And I'll tell you this, there is no greater judgment in a community than the parenting community. And so, like, Taylor and I talk about this a lot because everyone has this very public persona through their social media pages and everything like that. And that's been sort of a challenge for us because we don't have, like, I've got an Instagram, but I'm so passive on it. I don't really participate in Twitter. I think it's just a lot. And if you post it, like if Taylor were to post the video of her laughing when, you know, Kennedy is screaming her head off, as 3-year-olds do.
Right.
There's a huge amount of the community, the parenting community and the non-parenting judgmental community who would just pile on and be like, well, this is terrible. And this is with just no context of like the situation. And yes. I think that speaks to, you know, the predominant idea that people put out there of like, oh, I'm like such a hashtag cool mom or like I'm such a hashtag cool dad. That's not just doesn't mesh with reality at all times. Right. And so we were just talking about this last night where you actually see there's two different types of parents online now. For a decade or more, there was the only put out the perfect, only put out when they're in their dresses and it's beautiful and it's like this amazing breakfast is on the table and it's this great thing. And that became so much within the parenting community that there was this other segment of the population that sort of broke off and they were like, it's never going to be perfect. So now let's just publicize the chaos. And so there's no like in between. And I think parenting really is that in between. There's no like regular days that people are promoting and putting out on social media because it's a regular day. Mm-hmm. Instead, you've got, hashtag like messy dad, you know, like that's, you see these things where they go in the exact opposite direction and try to give people the, I don't want to say excuse, but the camaraderie around the permission to just be like, this is chaos, you know, I forgot it was Easter, so here we go, we're not doing Easter, or like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Versus the perfection, they're, you know, all done up. And it's really interesting within the parenting community because there's judgment on both sides. It's a very heavy, everybody thinks that they're the best parent ever. And so few of us are very good at all. So it's a really tough community to participate in.
Yeah.
What makes it's it
almost
go ahead. Ahead.
I was just gonna say it's almost as if the internet doesn't understand nuance.
What?
Yeah, what? we were literally talking about this before you came on about how everybody's so like on the balls of their feet, just they're ready to pounce on any mistake. They want to take anything out of not everyone, but not, a lot of people really love to like get points for calling people out. You know, for, you know, everybody wants to just police other people's behavior and everything.
Yeah.
Dennis has his wine right now. Yeah.
But, But what do you think makes, in people's minds, the cartoon perfect parent, the stereotypical uber perfect parent? Like, what is that? What does that look like?
Probably somebody who never gets frustrated, can, you know, manage their children's behavior, who's not only the perfect parent, but their children are perfectly behaved at all times.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's never the children just kind of willingly doing what their parent wants them to do because the parent has them so trained to do that.
Right.
Which in my, you know, I've tried to train them. It's not worked out well so far.
Yeah, because like we were saying before, they're kids. They're little people. Like this is, you know, that's a natural thing. But that's really interesting. So it's also, that's a lot of pressure on the kids too, you know, to be perfect as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I have found as Kennedy's gotten older, it becomes harder to kind of be like the parent that you have in your mind because they start to get their own opinions and own wants and desires. And, you know, you're Googling, is my 2.5-year-old a brat? How do I, you know, correct this behavior or whatever? And there's so many resources and books and podcasts and, you know, now Instagram accounts and TikTok accounts and everything about being a gentle parent or being a authoritative parent and all these things that you can consume that actually, for me, I found it made it harder because I was trying to say these perfect words that they were telling me to say when she's having a meltdown or use these strategies and implement these strategies. And it made it feel not authentic to me and to my relationship with Kennedy. And I had to kind of take a step back and like unfollow some of those accounts to get back to like my own parenting, I don't know, philosophy and the way I would actually talk to her rather than the scripts that people have made and, you know, courses that they're selling on how to parent. The parenting industry has blown up as far as like things you can purchase in online courses of how to feed your kid and how to parent your kid and how to potty train them and all of these things, that can create so much pressure on you as a parent to be like, well, I really want to be a gentle parent. And this book or this podcast is telling me how to do that. And I'm not doing it correctly. And you can ruminate and like get really upset with yourself.
Yeah, I think there's not like I feel like it's part of the wellness complex. And I don't think that people make money going like, oh, you're probably fine.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, they're like, no, in order like for you to be a good parent, you have to buy this product, you know. You want to be a good parent, right? Mm-hmm. So dish out this money.
I don't know. But you don't have to buy. Maybe you want to be a bad parent. You don't have to buy this product.
It's a great sales technique. I have purchased multiple courses.
Of course.
Have you found any of them to be useful? Or any, you know.
There's some. The thing about it is before I was a mom, I worked in early childhood education. So that has been my career and what I've been doing forever. So a lot of the things I kind of had learned in school and things like that. I think if you are a parent that has no experience with children, there can be a select few things that I would recommend if you really feel like you need some guidance on just how to kind of talk to your kid instead of being really demanding towards them and stuff like that. But for me personally, I probably kind of wasted my money because I had learned those things in school, but you know, there's still, there's always
good refreshers for me though.
Sure.
I'm very much the Scottie Pippen to Taylor's Jordan on this team right now. Like,
yes, I love that. I get that reference.
There is very much a learn by watching for me.
Just like so Scottie Pippen learned by watching.
Yeah. I know, I'm probably undercutting Scottie Pippen a little bit by comparing myself to him. But yeah, it's really interesting to see sort of within the community all the products. Like we when we had Kennedy, even when we had Parker, there's a group of friends every time you have a kid that will have a kid right around you. And so you're all sort of swapping notes and swapping posts and all the different things. And the products that we all bought independent of each other that were the exact same products were like very tied into, you are going to, in the absence of knowing better, you will throw money at the pursuit of perfection. You will throw money at trying to buy the things that will, you know, elevate your parenting game. And we certainly did that for Kennedy. For Parker, we were like, oh, she's fine. She's all right.
Well,
like
you're wiser now. You have the experience and the wisdom now. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a wiser. There's also like a, you know, it's tough when you're in the middle of a war with your firstborn and all of a sudden, because they're only 2 years apart, right? Like we were very much still raising a very, very young child. And all of a sudden there was a baby that was, you know, brought into the household. And so it was like survival at some points where we were like, okay, we just can't do that. We used to, this is going to be so embarrassing. I'm sorry, Taylor. We used to put Kennedy's bath towel, when we would get her out of the bath, we would put it right ahead of time, like 10 minutes ahead of time. I'd throw it into the dryer at high so that it wasn't such a harsh thing, like coming out of the bathtub and like going into that thing.
So
we've literally never done that to Parker. Parker, when you're older and you listen to this, I'm sorry. Maybe we've done it once, but like that was just we couldn't do it.
You should do that for each other. Wouldn't that be nice?
So nice. Yeah. They have things you can buy for your bathroom that you put in your bathroom to warm your towel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But we were like, oh, we'll do this. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I when we were asked to be part of this podcast, I was like, well, I have never personally been on the pursuit of perfection. I'm very much go with the flow. Before I had children, go with the flow.
So you're healthy,
knowing
and stable.
Everything was like, all right, that's cool. All right, okay, we're going to try this. We're going to do this. I never had that sort of mentality. I never felt like I was too hard on myself, which is probably a different sort of issue, right? But
no, that sounds really great and like level headed. I wish I were like that, to be honest.
But once Kennedy was born, it totally flipped. And I remember crying to Mike when she was like 2 months old, saying, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to feel carefree again. I just like everything was so, I wanted things to be perfect for her. And, you know, for the first 2 years of her life before Parker was born, I was in control of everything. Her schedule was down to the minute. My family would be like, Taylor, you got to kind of like let somebody else do some of these things. You know, you kind of got to like back off on her schedule. We left her one time with my parents just for one night, and I wrote down like a 15 minute what her schedule was for the time we were gone. And I wouldn't let other people pour her milk cup. Like it was crazy.
Interesting.
So it was a very weird 2 years of me being wanting it to be perfect for her. And when they're that little, you can kind of make it perfect, especially with COVID times. We weren't doing anything, so it was so hyper focused on her schedule. And you know, we didn't have anywhere that we needed to be, so like every day could be pretty much this exact same for her. And consistency is great, but it can also make you go a little crazy sometimes, and you get too bogged down in it, that I wouldn't want to go anywhere if it was going to be during her nap time, or if it was going to push her nap time back, or her dinner had to be at 5:30 on the dot, that sort of thing.
That's really interesting that it like that wasn't your normal personality, and this brought it out of you.
Absolutely.
What do you think? Where do you think that came from? Just like the
I think at first it was the hormones of having a baby and just having some, I had some, definitely had some like postpartum anxiety issues. And then it just kind of became my norm. And because I was staying home with her, you know, she was my focus. And so I'm like, right. I'm going to do my job and I'm going to do my job well. And she's my job. So that's what I'm going to do. But now once we had Parker, it was like, did Kennedy eat today? Great. She had some goldfish. Perfect.
And you kind of learned that like, everything turns out like, okay, even when I'm not as tightly controlled, which must be really freeing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Do you think you've swung back towards the like not being such a perfectionist about parenting?
I kind of feel like it ebbs and flows. Some nights, after they go to sleep, I want to make sure the apartment is like immaculate and spotless and everything's put back. And some nights, it's just like you're just kind of defeated.
Right. Drinking wine.
It definitely is an ebb and flow for me. Thankfully, you know, my girls are pretty good and they do let me, you know, keep them on their schedule and everything. So that's good. But
yeah. And then Mike, I'm curious to know, were you a chill, go with the flow kind of person prior to being a parent?
I was, I feel like I was pretty go with the flow. Becoming a parent turned me into a giant liar. What I think.
I was like, that is interesting.
No, I mean, honestly, It did, and Taylor, if you noticed, didn't make any like face on that. She was like, yeah, absolutely. Because my overwhelming responsibility when I first became a dad with Kennedy was Taylor. It was not Kennedy, right? Because I can't do much at that point. I can change some diapers, and even then, like, that's it, really. Because Kennedy was so dependent on Taylor and you know, to support her life, and you just sort of stand on the side. But Taylor would also be like dissecting every single thing that would happen, and I would just through my teeth just lie. She'd be, oh, you know what, I just googled that, yep, that color poop, I googled that, completely healthy, that's like exactly where it's supposed to be. In fact, she's ahead of her game. Like I would I put on my best salesman hat. I was like, she is an advanced pooper, hon. I don't know how to tell you this, but she is an advanced pooper. I'm so proud. We're going to call Harvard tomorrow. Like, it was very much just walking her back from that pursuit of perfection. Yeah. It was taking her and calming the nerves and calming the anxiety and calming the situation and just being like, and you know, not to say that I wasn't feverishly like Googling everything I could, because I was, but there were some things that were so crazy and I was like, no, she's fine. I just looked it up. Everything's great. And so that was the first like 6-7 months. And then I was just, you know, in awe, honestly, at that point of how Taylor, just this woman that I had met in college and we developed a relationship there, all of a sudden she's this mother and she is like crushing it. And it was really, there was a moment where I was like, wow, I am the B team. I'm JV squad right now. And truly I need to like step my game up. And honestly, I'm still there. Like I wake up most days and I'm like, I don't know how she does it. I don't, honestly. But we're cognizant of the privilege that we have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I work in tech. It's a well-paid industry. I had like 6 months off for paternity, or like 4 months off for paternity. I was able to be there very early on. And for me, it was like, even with all of that, I was still, you know, not doing as much as I probably could have been doing. And you know, it's a challenge for every parent. We happen to be in one of the best situations a new parent could be in, and still it's a challenge. So we're empathetic to all of the parents out there. We don't want to come across as like we've got it figured out.
Do you post on social media? Like you mentioned, there were the two worlds of like we only post the perfect curated videos And then there's the world of, like, we're going to show you, like, the shit hitting the fan. the war zone shit.
The advanced shit. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you post stuff? What's your social media philosophy when it comes to, I guess, posting about your kids? Do you, like, obscure their faces? Do you, like, not mention their names? Do you post very curated stuff? Do you post the shit hitting the fan stuff?
I post a little of both, I think. I love my girls looking cute and matching dresses and all that stuff, and I'll post that. It's my stories on Instagram. That's where I lean into the, the look how funny this is. And like the other,
those delete.
Yeah,
those,
yeah, exactly. Parker, our youngest daughter, has you could be a country mile away. If you start eating food, she will be at your feet within seconds. And so I did a whole,
this is a,
like,
human child we're talking about, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's unbelievable, her speed. And so, like, I did a whole series of, like, Parker just, like, I'm cooking dinner and Parker's begging at my feet for any scrap of food she can get.
And just to, and just reiterate, that for, like, this is 20 not, meals. This, stuff, yeah, this is a human, not a, not a fur, doesn't have a tail, wet nose. I just want to make sure we're...
This is not a fur baby.
100%.
This is not a fur baby, no.
How mad would we be if halfway through we realized
that like...
We're talking about our dogs.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a mix of both. It's a little bit of a mix of both.
So, every 15 minutes. But... Stop. Oh my god!
But
sorry. Okay, so yeah. you show those videos on your Instagram stories. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help it that they're cute as fuck. Can I swear on this?
Oh my god.
I did not
you
ask
can swear
ahead
on
of time.
Fuck
I can't
yeah.
help
can
that they're cute as fuck all the
they're
time.
They're cute as fuck.
All right,
all the time.
That's the name of the
episode. Just a level set with the audience at home. But yeah, they're cute and like they're like really cute terrorists. They're just always.
That's
they're,
the name.
They're like always doing something bad. They're like always doing something bad, but then it's sort of cute. Like Parker like is climbing a bookshelf and you're like, Parker, get down from the bookshelf. And it's cute when she's doing it, but also it's going to terrorize the entire, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Evening.
Right.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
On social media, I have a follow-up question. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't know the answer to this, but once they get older, what are your thoughts on them being on social media?
Mm.
I hate the thought of them being on social media.
yeah.
But right? I, you know, I'm not going to tell them that they can't do it. I'm trying as hard as I can to create, like, openness about it rather than hiding things. Because I went the hiding things route growing up, and it wasn't, it's not something that I want for my kids.
You mean your parents hid things?
My parents
from you?
Were, no, I hid things from my parents. My parents were pretty strict.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Yeah. My parents were pretty strict, and I want, you know, if they want to be on social media, it's, we're going to have a lot of responsibility talks about it. But
that's terrifying to me.
Oh, it's so scary. But it's going to be part of their life no matter what. Like, there's no stopping it. We have to be really cognizant of us saying no and trying to restrict it. We'll just make it that more enticing and more interesting to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen TikTok? Like,
I have.
Like, it's scary to see how young some people can be on that platform creating content. And at the same time, you're like, wow, good for these kids, like creating content. Mm-hmm. It comes down to like, how do you talk about the content that they create? And that's, you know, I think our job as parents isn't to keep them from doing things. It's to, you know, show them how to respect themselves in any situation that they're in. And empower them to feel like there's the, you know, the way that they should be using it instead of the ways that they shouldn't be using it. But that's
a
tough.
I'm going to tell you guys sound like perfect parents. I'm sorry. Just the way, I'm sorry. Yeah. Just the way you're like, this is so reasonable and wise.
We do have, anyways. We rarely give them out, but we do have Pursuit of Perfectness ribbons that we give to the, to our guests who have achieved perfectness.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, gosh.
So expect those in the mail.
No, we're about to get a second bottle of wine out. No, but I did not let out earlier today. I'm like, Kennedy, you have to take a nap. If you don't take a nap, you will not get any treats tonight. And I mean, that you just, like, I out still, like a I, light.
Yeah. I'm still not 100% sure that, we're not talking about a puppy.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
You know what? You know what I really think it is? And Taylor and I had this conversation early on in our parenting life. We made the choice to not let good enough be the enemy of, yes, you know, perfect, you know, or like perfect be the, you know, like if so many parents just think through, like, I want to do this perfectly, and if I can't, I'm not going to do it at all. And we're like, yes, you know what, goldfish tonight, we're good, we're feeding you, you're okay. And so we made that cognizant choice to say, like, hey, sometimes it's just going to be as good as we can deliver, mm-hmm, because we have to also prioritize our marriage and our relationship. And I know, yes, that is you don't understand the stir that I did in that pot right there, because that is a contentious issue within the parenting community. But like, there is a cognizant choice to say, hey, we're a team, we're prioritizing us over the children. Like, we have to do that. We've made that decision.
I respect that a lot too.
Sometimes we just have to let good be good enough and not chase perfect every single time that we can.
Yeah,
I think that's really healthy. I think even, like, that's important for the kids to witness too, you know? Like, my parents are prioritizing their relationship. I think that's really healthy, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that I'm getting a sense that you're not like this at all, but and maybe this is me being judgmental, and probably it is, but I have the sense that there's a lot of parents out there who are, like, excusing a lot of their bad behavior because they're doing it for their children. Like, anything they do to other people or in society is just, like, for my children. And, like, that's the most morally, like, oh, like, I was trying to do the, like, holy light coming down from heaven sound effect, but I needed to clear my throat first.
Can you give an example? Can you give an example, Dennis?
No.
Okay. Cool.
I don't know. I can't give an example. So maybe I'm full of shit, but, like, I don't know.
I hear what you're saying. I feel like I can't think of an example either, but I feel like I know what you're saying.
Well,
yeah, I probably am just being too judgmental.
No, I think a lot of people, and it's hard to say this as a parent of young kids because sometimes you do need a little extra help, but a lot of parents will expect to, I don't know, like, get into the front of the line at the grocery store or things like that. They'll expect maybe, like, some special treatment if they're parents and with their young kids and things like that.
That's the kind of thing I mean, yeah.
Yeah. That can be frustrating because then with people that don't have kids might think that every parent wants to do that sort of thing. Where I am very much like, I'm not like that at all. I would never ask for something like that. In fact, today at the liquor store, while I was buying the wine with the two girls,
this message brought to you by Pinot Noir. Yeah. Pinot Noir, get some today.
Mommy needs some wine.
I was like, Kennedy, we're going to the wine store. And she's like, and they have ice cream there. I was like, okay, we've taken you here too many times. But in fact,
are we going to see Marvin?
Wine and ice cream, yeah. But
amazing. When I was checking, that just sounds like a great liquor store.
It's right across the street. It's very nice. Yeah.
It's very convenient.
Yeah. As we were checking out, I had both the girls with me, and there were two people in front of me, and just one cashier, and then another cashier came and pulled me and said, I can help you over here, you know, if you want to check out. And I looked at the guy in front of me, I was like, do you want to go? Because I hate him thinking that this cashier was saying, like, doing this for me because of special treatment, because I had the girls.
But at the same time, like, I also get it. I think
the cashier was being super nice, but I didn't want the other customer to, you know, be annoyed by that.
Yeah. Well, you're being very conscientious. I think at that point, it's like falls on the guy to be like, the guy in front of you to be like, please go ahead.
Oh, he did. He did. Right.
This, you know what? This story you told is just society working perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is how it's supposed to be.
We're all just being.
Get the kids out of the liquor store ASAP.
Yeah.
Well, why is there ice cream there?
Yeah, I know.
This is a great business model.
I also wanted to ask you about your parents, because you've been able to spend a lot of time with your own parents too, as well. I believe, as we've talked a bit over the pandemic, do you have a newfound, you know, respect for their parenting of you? Can you talk a little bit about that? Yeah.
You can go first about your parents.
Go ahead. Whatever you're comfortable with.
Jeff and Charlene, I'm sorry in advance if you listen in.
Our main demo is parents.
Yeah.
Parents of adult children, yeah.
What's interesting is, you know, I mentioned earlier that the parenting community is very hard on each other. Yep. There is, like, this idea of, like, we're all supporting each other, but really there's, like, a ton of judgment. There is no greater judgment in the parental community than from the older generation to this current generation.
Interesting.
And I mean, it's not even close.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's
I got to hear all about this.
Yeah. It's our parents raised us a certain way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, science and technology are better today. People know more things. People have asked, hey, maybe, you know, that's not the correct way of doing what you were doing. Because, like, I grew up in a house that was, we were a Christian upbringing, we went to the church, and we had very much, like, from the pastor or whatever directly, spare the rod, spoil the child mentalities. And so, like, we grew up in a spanking household and things like that, and just as one example. And that's something that, like, we never even considered as a possibility, because there's so much science that says, hey, this is the wrong way of doing this.
Right.
And there's still, today, there are a ton of parents who believe, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. And we couldn't say enough about how that we don't think that's the right way of doing it.
Right, right.
So, like, there's big issues like that are differences between how we raise our kids and how my parents raise their kids. So,
not
the idea,
but your parents do not think we should spank our children. Let's just
correct
get that out there.
Correct.
They're not coming to us.
You know,
well, yeah, they've also been existing throughout the time society has changed.
Yeah, they've kept up.
Yes, they're not
right in time for me to be in my 20s. They were like, we should stop spanking. I was like, what do you like? What? That, yes. Like, when I was, you know, a child. Yes. Right. Yeah, I think it's interesting because there's, you know, that's just one example. But there's other examples, like we have white noise machines. And my mother, you know, in her Googling prowess, found one article from a 2004 study that was like white noise can stunt children's growth or something like that.
Oh.
But like the amount of research that we did and the amount of time that we like spent in there, and it's the study that she referenced was weird. So it's just like we find these issues where we're butting heads and they think they've got it because they've already raised their children. Right. We're still in the midst. And then there's no nice way of being like, hey, you did a bad job. Like, I'm okay. Like, we're fine. But also, like, you'd be, like, Child Protective Services would have been called on you. You know, like, you gave me an entire Coke can when I was 2. Like, what were you thinking? We, like, watch home videos, and in the video is, like, terrible things. I'm like, what are you guys just left me by that pool? Like, I'm 1 year old. I don't swim at that point. And I'm, like, in the background just walking around. And
oh, how times have changed.
Times have changed.
Hey, Michael,
Yeah.
Smoke that outside.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what were you guys doing? And it's, but then I also realized I'm the youngest. I'm the third child. Mm-hmm. And we are 34, 35, 36 in age. Like, we are all very close in age, which is also a thing that I bring up all the time. And I'm like, how irresponsible were you two? Like, shame on you for putting yourselves in that situation. Because we're at two and we're like, there's no way we could do a third right now. There's absolutely no way. So there's, they're very supportive. They're wonderful parents, and I love my parents deeply.
Yeah.
But also, they were terrible parents, and I cannot believe that they would lecture us about anything. No.
Both things can be true.
Both things can be true. We have to be comfortable with paradox.
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe that.
They're wonderful grandparents at this point. and that's what you hope for. Now,
such a backhanded compliment.
But I also, like, there are... I think it was, my parents were tougher when I was a young child, but when I became a teenager, they were very understanding and accepting. And like, I did not hide things from my parents very much. Like, I was very open about it.
Yeah.
And so I think that that sort of swaps with Taylor's experience and parents, which it makes us a very well-rounded couple, maybe.
Yeah. My parents, I grew up in a very calm household. I have an older sister, but she's 6.5 years older than I am. So a lot of times it kind of felt like I was an only child. It was very,
big age difference.
Yeah. It was very kind of calm growing up, but they were very strict. No boys, no makeup, drinking was like out of their realm of possibility. So there was a lot of when I got to be a teenage years and I wanted to experiment with all those things, there was no way I could ever talk to them about it or be comfortable going to them about anything like that. But as grandparents, they definitely bite their tongue a lot more than Mike's parents do about things. So, I mean, there's definitely, they definitely have opinions, and sometimes I can see it in their faces of, that's probably not what we would be doing if we were the parents in this situation, but they're very good at just letting us slide by, no comments. They like let us do our own thing. Where Mike's parents are more willing to give their opinion about things.
Mm-hmm. More New England is the word that she's looking for. My mother is very New England, which means that she has no cards up her sleeves. They are all on the table. Everything is out in the open. I think that the bigger subplot of this is that that's really translated with me and Taylor, where we had that discussion before we even had children, where we're like, how are we going to raise our kids? Because your parents raised you one way and my parents raised me another. And we both came to the decision, we're not going to raise them in either of those two ways, because there's so many different ways you can raise your kids. And so we leaned on our experiences. But I think in a moment of stress like today, everyone, it's your nature, is going to fall back into how you were raised as your preset, because you're hardwired to go there. And what's wonderful is Taylor has so much patience from being brought up in a household of patience. And I have not patience. I have the opposite situation where I have I need to leave the room right now because I'm about to blow a gasket. And this 3-year-old is just being a 3-year-old. And so we're cognizant of our weaknesses too. And I think that that's important to have that discussion before you become a parent, if possible.
Oh, yeah. I actually wrote down patience. It was something I wanted to talk about, because I think I'm like you in that way, Michael, where I don't have kids, and me and my partner were not planning on having kids. But the thing I was afraid of if I ever did have a kid was I don't have a deep well of patience. Like, I've taken care of kids in an educator capacity in the past, and I've discovered I don't have the patience. I can be a pretty good uncle for about an hour, but I feel like there's you have to be so patient.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know what's the thing I said to my nephew once? I'm going to murder you. He's still around. He's fine. We're cool.
How old was he?
I definitely said this to him.
Dennis, 2 years old. He was 2 years old. I don't know. He's like,
yeah, I don't know. He's probably 12. I don't know.
When you said this to him.
When I said this to him, he was probably younger, actually. I don't know. Definitely not an appropriate thing to say, but also, we have a pretty acerbic sense of humor in my family, so he probably heard worse than that from his mom all the time. My sister.
That's nice. I think that when it's your own children, you develop a little more patience. Mike is not the most patient person, and I think he has learned. It's also something that you can learn, and he's learned to become a little bit more patient, don't you think?
I mean, I would love to say yes. I will say yes. I think I am more patient because the peer pressure from you to be more patient.
It's working. There you go.
It's working. Because when you are, you know, Pippin to the Jordan, you have to carry your own weight. And it's almost infuriating how patient Taylor can be. Because it almost gets me even more upset looking over. Like, we'll be driving in the car and the girls will just be screaming and crying. Yeah. And I've just got no pay. Like, I don't know why that, like, just triggers me so hard when they're screaming and crying. And I'll look over at Taylor and she'll just be like, yep, things are good. Like, it's okay. Yeah. And I'll be like, do we need to pull over the car? Do we need it? Like, and she's like, nope, just keep on driving. It's fine. There's nothing you can do. And I'm like, and then you have to like calm yourself down. And again, you can't, man, the guilt associated with these feelings is so intense. Uh-huh. And not enough parents talk about this. So I just want to like make a nod to this. Almost every day I go to bed and I think about my day with my interactions with the girls. And there's one thing that like stands out to me is like, I'm guilt ridden by it. I'm like, oh, I should have been more patient. Or like, you know, today, you know, we're setting up computer stuff. We're doing all this stuff. And like Kennedy comes out and she's like, Dada, can you stay with me for my bath time? And I'm like, honey, I can't, like, I got to do all this stuff. And you can see it. Like she understands, but she's disappointed. Yeah. I'll think about that later tonight as I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I could have been there. I could have done this, you know, more or better or whatever. And so you beat yourself up pretty consistently as a parent. And so you have to sort of harken back to that. Don't let good enough be the enemy. You know, like you did good. You did good enough today.
Right.
It's okay. You'll have better days and you'll have worse days. And you just got to keep that sort of 1,000-foot view on your parenting and everything that's involved with it, because it's truly the hardest job. I have no idea how Taylor does this all the time. Like I could, going to work is an escape for me, to be perfectly honest. Like, it is a relief to go and have conversations with adults. It's a relief to have complex things that I'm trying to work through and not have to like have so much patience for what is, you know, a 3-year-old trying to figure out her life right now. And, you know, it's tough. It's a truly, truly hard job to have.
Yeah. You really don't hear that much. At least I don't hear that much about guilt, but I feel like I'd be filled with guilt all the time. Thinking about, like, you know, the things that you are like, this, she's going to remember this, and then they're not going to remember it. And then the thing that you don't remember that they will remember.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
That's so true.
You know?
That's so true.
But then you see, like, I see Instagram and I see TikTok and I see all these parents that are posting all this content and all this stuff, and I'm like, I should have been a better parent. And what's really interesting,
but that's curated
it's
stuff.
It's very curated.
I mean, social media is going to make everyone feel that way about everything.
Yeah.
What's really interesting, and maybe this is just my TikTok feed, is that there's a whole movement of parents that are sort of guilt tripping other parents on TikTok and on social media. And the way that they do it is really, I mean, it gets you. So like, there's this one guy, and I forget what it's like, the normal dad or something like that. I forget what his handle is, but
the normal dad.
Yeah. Or maybe it's bad dad, or I forget what it is, but he does all these TikToks where it's like, you know, some sappy song in the background. Ugh. And he's got one older girl and one younger girl, and he'll like, they look so much alike that he'll have the younger girl come up and do like, "Daddy, can you give me a hug?" And he'll be like, "No, sonny, like I can't do it right now. Sorry, I can't do it." And then it'll cut to her being older, and he'll be like, "Hey, do you want me to give you a hug?" And she'll be like, "No, I'm okay."
Stop.
And then he'll be like, "You know, one day your daughter's going to ask you to hug her for the last time." And I'm just like a mess on the couch. I'm like,
what are the spoons?
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing to me? And this is like a genre of parenting abuse that I'm so invested in that I'm like, I should have hugged her more. I got to stop.
That's so messed up.
I got to stop.
That's so messed up.
Don't watch that.
But it's true. There's one day when, you know, you're going to put down your little girl and she's you're never going to pick her up again.
Stop
this
it.
That's like what they say.
This is like all the new country songs or whatever.
You're so right.
Just go listen to Willie Nelson. Just
oh, it's brutal.
It will develop into something new and beautiful in its own way, you know?
Yeah. They never talk about the fact that you're supposed to put them down and not pick them back up again. Like, that's part of parenting, and that if you were still picking up your teenage kid,
that'd be
there's
weird.
There's probably bigger issues. Yeah. There's probably bigger challenges. You hear that, Mom? Stop trying to pick me up. No.
Oh my gosh.
I'm imagining your mother's like a tiny little person.
She's tiny. She's like 5 foot. I'm just trying to pick up. I'm 6'3 plus and she's like 5 foot.
Amazing.
One.
Yeah. How does that happen?
Jeans.
Yeah. Jeans.
Do you think Kennedy and Parker are gonna be tall? Short? Tall?
Kennedy
tall.
For sure.
Tall.
Parker's still to be determined. I don't know. Like
yeah. Hmm. It's interesting to see, like...
I mean, with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen as parents, they're definitely going to be tall, right?
Right, they're gonna be tall. True.
That's what I'm saying.
Talented. NBA players.
That's what I'm saying. Somewhere, well, Scottie Pippen's lawyers are like, does Scottie Pippen have another kid out there somewhere? No, it's a...
another kid.
Yeah.
I just, you know what? That does... I just want to ask one more. I know we got to wrap up soon. In terms of, like, encouraging interests, like, do you think about that? Like...
Great question.
What if they like want to pick up the piano one day and then they decide maybe I don't want to do this after a few months? Do you gently prod them and say, you know, I think maybe you should stick with this, or do you
depends how much money we've invested in it.
if we
can spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars, you're going to finish the course or whatever you're doing. If it's a free activity, you do you, girl. I don't care.
You actually, you're touching on a subject where it's like one of the rare subjects that Taylor and I semi-disagree.
Yeah.
Like we challenge each other in this instance, because I'm very much of the see it through. See it all the way through to the end. Like, there's no, like, you've made a decision, you have to follow through with it. And so, like, if she, you know, if Kennedy picks up soccer or something, there's no quitting mid-season, you know? There's no, and then at the end of the season, if she wants to quit, like, we're going to have a discussion about it. I'm not going to just let her walk away. I'm going to challenge her on those points. And I think where we agree on this is, like, I think it's our responsibility to make sure that she's interested in being interested in things, like that she has a healthy, you know, desire to challenge herself and to educate herself and to learn and try new things. Yeah. And I'm great with that. Like, I want her to be in a position where she wants to try lots of things, and not everything is going to work out, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm empowering her to feel a certain way about herself where she will feel empowered to do all of those things. Where Taylor's like, very much if you're done, you're done. Like, that's okay. And we go back and forth in this area a little bit.
Yeah. I also think it's dependent on your child, on your child and their personality and, you know, what will best fit what they need and what they want. That those are going to be game time decisions.
And
all of parenting, you can think you have it figured out. All of parenting is game time decision. you have things that you think you're going to do and things that you think, you know, who knows in 10 years when she's wanting to get on social media if we're going to say yes. Like, wait, let's recap. Let's regroup in 10 years from now, you guys, and we can tell you what our decision
was. Well, let's make a date. We'll come back in 10 years.
It's all game time decisions. That's what it is.
Yeah, and so much change. Like, so much of the world's going to change by then, too. Like, we got to constantly be reassessing.
Yeah, what we think of as social media now is going to look completely different in 10 years.
Totally different,
Yeah, but what you said about before about, like, you were trying to follow this script, that these are the perfect words. But the thing is, they're unique individuals. They're people. Yeah. They're humans with their own.
Right.
They're different. Even your two kids that came from the same family. They're
totally.
I'm saying obvious stuff. Totally like this different. Wine is getting to my
totally head. Different. Yeah.
Like okay. Yeah. I was
their
on
personalities
right.
are completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have personalities, right? Yeah.
I also think that doesn't get talked about enough or understood. That like. It almost seems like parents in general think that they can, you can only do so much. They're their own people, right? Yep. So like you can kind of set an example and whatever, but like I don't think someone had a great quote on a TikTok I watched where it's like, you don't own the child. The child is like coming through you, right? Like this is its own person. This is this own person that like you're interacting with, but you're not shaping them. They're their own person, you know? Am I making sense?
Yes. Yeah. It's hard to embrace that and kind of realize that as a parent, because when they're so little, you really can control everything and you are you're literally doing everything for them and you can decide every day what happens with them. And so it's a total mind shift when they get a little bit older and you kind of are like, oh, wow, like they really are their own person and they have their own personality and ideas. We're kind of in that midst right now with the three-year-old and she's figuring things out and we're trying to help figure them out too. But it is, it's definitely... It isn't talked about enough how you have to have the shift of mindset from when they're like really little and you can control everything for them and to them getting older. It's a weird shift.
Yeah, it sounds like you just have to constantly adapt and it has to happen fast and it's constant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every day is sort of a challenge. But it comes back to what you can actually accomplish as a parent. Right. Like if we do nothing else well, it's that we want to make sure that they are growing into themselves, like that they are growing into independent, you know, women who are facing an uphill battle in life, honestly. And so, we talk a lot about, like, we do words of affirmation, right? So like Kennedy, she'll repeat these back to us as often as we remember to do them. And I wish we could say we did it every night, but we do it a lot of nights where she says, I'm smart, I'm brave, I'm kind, I'm beautiful. My family loves me and I love my family.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
I'm going to cry also. So
what's funny now is Kennedy just got to the age where I'll be like, okay, you know, you tell me I'm smart. And she'll go, I am not smart.
Oh.
No. And I'll be like, you are so smart that you are manipulating me right now, young lady.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So she knows it so well that she knows how to play against it, which is sort of what you want. And like, that's what I want. I want her to grow up and know that she is smart and that she is kind and that she is brave and that, you know, she can do all of the things that she wants to do and that she's got a family that loves her and that she can love her family openly and freely. And so, like, if we do nothing else as parents, like, those are the things we're going to harken back to as often as possible with both of the girls. Because they, you know, they're going to go through life and they're going to have all the different things to figure out for themselves that we can't help them with. As long as they've got those building blocks, I think that they'll do okay. Hopefully they won't chase perfection. They'll chase happiness.
Yes. And you know what? That's what they're going to remember, that everything you just said, not the one time you didn't stay for bath time.
We'll see.
Both giving an abundance of love. And
They won't remember that. They'll remember something else.
Yeah. They will.
I'm trying to end on a beautiful moment. But they're going to bring something up in therapy.
They will. There'll be something.
I'm very interested to hear what it is. I hope they tell me as well.
I'm honestly at the point where I can't wait to come back to this podcast in like 5 years and just be so judgmental of us as parents right now.
We will probably be like, oh, you sweet summer child.
you poor... Sorry, SOBs. You have no idea what you're in for.
I can't wait.
And there's some teenage parent out there that's like, or like a parent of teenagers that's out there, and it's like, you guys shut the hell up right now because you don't even know what you're in for. And I get it. I'm cognizant.
We could do a 7-Up kind of series where we revisit every few years.
Love that.
This is a good time capsule though for you guys. You definitely have to listen to this in a few years.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sorry, Ellen, that I messed up your beautiful ending moment.
It was like so beautiful. Like, I just want my girls to have a solid foundation. My dad is like, they're going to remember something. No, but you know what? That's the paradox we're talking about, right? We got to embrace that paradox.
Yeah.
Dennis, what do you remember? No, that's another podcast.
We could get into it. Well, I'm not going to.
You know what I remember? That my parents wouldn't let me quit soccer mid-season.
Oh, no.
Me and your parents,
I hated
Ellen.
It.
Me and your parents. We're going to get along just great.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I think we should this is about the time when we got to wrap up, but thank you.
We want to be respectful of time.
Yeah, thank you, Mike
you
and Taylor,
both.
For your
so much.
Time, so much, for your time and for your great idea of having wine.
Yes.
I think we're all, see if I can.
I'm designated driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. And for your candor, thank you for being so open. And taking us on a ride into your lives. It was just really nice to catch up with you both.
Yeah,
we haven't seen each other in a long time, so it's just really nice to see your faces.
Well, thanks for asking. This was just so exciting.
Yes.
I'm so glad you liked it. I'm so glad you enjoyed, and we're thrilled to have you on.
Yes.
Wonderful. So for the audience, we usually plug some things. Is there anything you want to plug? Any social medias?
Pinot Noir.
Mike, do you tweet?
Listen, I tried tweeting. I tried it. And it's a mistake. I shouldn't have access to,
No one should tweet. It's always a mistake for everyone.
It's always a mistake.
No plug.
The plug
no
is don't go on Twitter. That's the plug.
That's the plug. Don't go on Twitter. Wonderful. Any last minute words of wisdom for our listeners? Maybe people who are starting out, thinking about being parents. Any resources they should look at? Or I think we came to patience. Patience is number one.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best thing you can have as a parent is patience. And yeah, just remembering how you do it is what's right for your family, and just kind of don't worry about what everybody else is doing.
Mm.
Amen. Wise words. All right, Dennis, why don't you take us out?
Yes, that is, in fact, it for this week. So follow us on Instagram @PursuitOfPerfectness. please write us an email at pursuitofperfectness@gmail.com. I'm flabbergasted that we have not received one single email yet, deep into season two.
Will you guys email us after?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if there's thing. Parents at home, they're going to email you with complaints.
Oh, God, I hope so.
We've stepped on some toes.
Please, please email us with complaints.
Yes.
We'd be so
glad. Yeah, we'll send out those blue ribbons of perfectness later in the week, so be on the lookout for those. Folks, if you like what you heard, rate us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe. Tell your friends. Thank you to Keith Burgon for our theme music. And until next time, you are smart. You are kind.
You're brave.
You're brave. And you are beautiful. Bye.
Bye.